Welcome to the fourth week of our series for this season of Lent. We're calling it Believe and Receive. Jesus once said, "All that you ask for in prayer, believe that you will receive it, and it shall be yours." And in this series, we're taking a deep dive into the power of prayer. And so far, we've learned that God wants us to pray with a sense of possibility, the belief that he can do anything, that nothing will be impossible for God. But when we're struggling to see God at work in our lives, what we said 2 weeks ago is that we have to start praying with perspective. Ask God to show us how everything we're going through, all the problems that we're facing, the challenges that come our way, are somehow connected to and part of his much larger plan that he is totally in control of. That's praying with perspective. Last week was about praying with purity. When it seems like God is asleep at the switch and not giving you what you want, the problem could be your desires, what you're asking for in prayer. God wants us to pray with a right attitude, with the right intentions, and be in the right frame of mind. This is often why God waits to answer our prayers. He's waiting for us to purify our desires, for us to pray to him with a pure heart. And this week, I want to talk with you about pray perilously. When we pray, it's tempting to play it safe, you know, just stick with safe prayers. But deep down, I think God really wants us, I think deep down we all want to ask God for big dreams and great adventures and larger-than-life breakthroughs. The Christian author John Eldridge wrote in his book, Wild at Heart, that every man needs a beauty to save, a battle to fight, and an adventure to live. I love that. A beauty to save, a battle to fight, and an adventure to live. And while that may describe the masculine heart in particular, I believe it also describes the unspoken hopes we all have for a life that reaches beyond the limits of our imagination. But I wonder how many of us dare to pray like that. Or do we stick with safe prayers? Prayers that will never disappoint us because they don't require us to stretch our faith or put anything on the line. With safe prayers, we don't have to worry about God not coming through for us because safe prayers don't really ask anything specific, big, unimaginable, or beyond belief. I don't mean safe prayers are bad. They can be a good starting point, but if we never share with God the deepest desires of our hearts, or even admit them to ourselves, we'll never really grow in faith. We won't grow spiritually. God wants us to take the limits off of him, to get down on our knees, to ask for things that are bigger than we could hope for, to pray with specific intentions and desires. And that's dangerous. Because what if nothing happens? That could shake our faith. And yet God still wants us to, he wants to hear the cries of our hearts. He wants us to be all in when we pray, to ask for great miracles and transformations, to pray with power and effect. God wants us to pray perilously. Recently, we started a new ministry here at St. Hilary. It's a ministry of healing. And we formed a team of people with deep faith and the courage to pray over people in need of healing. Last fall, we invited the whole community to come out for a healing service. It was our first attempt. We were brand new at it. Hundreds of people showed up. Hundreds of people. The need was so great, much greater than we anticipated. We learned a lot. And, you know, when people come to us for help, we do not pray safe prayers. We do not just ask for a little relief from the pain the person is suffering. We do not ask for just some measure of strength for that person to get through that difficult situation in their health. No, we command the cancer to leave the body, for broken bones to be healed, for neurons to fire fully, for joints to move freely, for cells to function perfectly, for depression to disappear, for the demons to depart, all in the name of Jesus. And then comes the most frightening moment of all. After we've prayed that way for a few minutes, we stop and we ask the person if they feel anything, feel different, you know, maybe some relief from the symptoms. And in that moment, I always hold my breath. I feel like my heart is about to stop. I think of every excuse to get out of the room. Oh, I left the holy oils in the church. Excuse me, I need to use the restroom. I'm sorry, I forgot to eat lunch. I'm feeling a little faint. Let me go make a sandwich. Have you seen how long that grass is getting out front? I need to go mow it, be right back. Anything to get out of the room and avoid hearing the possible response, no, I don't feel any different. Nothing has changed. That's a perilous prayer. That's a dangerous prayer. God wants us to have that kind of courage because it shows our trust in his promises. It shows our belief in what Jesus said in John chapter 14, if you ask anything of me in my name, I will do it. We have to ask in his name, and we have to ask perilously and dangerously. In the gospel story for today, a young man demanded that his father give him his full share of the inheritance in advance. In effect, he was telling his father, Dad, you're already dead to me. Just give me the money and let me go do what I want. His father reluctantly agreed. The young man left home with a small fortune, traveled to a faraway land, and spent all the money on all the wrong things. He was reckless and irresponsible, and it left him completely broke. And then a famine broke out in the land, not enough food to go around, especially if you didn't have money. So the young man was hungry and totally out of options. He couldn't survive much longer. The passage says that he came to his senses, realized that he had done wrong, decided to go back home and ask for forgiveness. He thought, how many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat, but here am I dying from hunger. I shall get up and I shall go to my father and I shall say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers. Notice that the prodigal son could not imagine asking for more than to become one of his father's hired workers. He did not dare to ask for the deepest longing in his heart to know that he was still loved by his father, still part of the family. He couldn't ask for that, didn't have the courage. So he set the bar low, played it safe, didn't expect much, but look what happened. When the prodigal son finally came home, his son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. But his father ordered his servants, quickly bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine who was dead has come to life again, who was once lost and is now found. The father would not let his son finish the speech he had rehearsed. He interrupted him right in the middle of it, couldn't even get to the part about treating him as he would treat his hired workers. What the boy did not realize is that God had already forgiven him long ago. And now that he was home, he had much bigger plans for him. Plans to restore him to his rightful place in the family. Servants did not wear rings, sons did. Servants did not walk around with fine robes, but sons did. Servants walked with bare feet, sons had sandals. No one would throw a party for a hired worker. Only sons were worthy enough for that. The ring, the robe, the sandals, the banquet, they were all signs of the father's unconditional love and forgiveness and total acceptance of his son back into his family. Are you praying safe prayers? Are you sometimes like the prodigal son, convinced that your Heavenly Father is not loving enough, not merciful enough, not forgiving enough to give you the best, to accomplish amazing things for you and your family, even though you've made mistakes, gotten off course, mishandled some situations in the past? Do you set the bar low? Do you hedge your bets when it comes to prayer? When you have the courage to take a leap of faith, to pray dangerously and perilously, to tell God your heart's deepest desires, then you are speaking the truth. You are acting with integrity because you're not holding back out of fear, that afraid that God is somehow going to leave you holding the bag. You're saying, God, I take responsibility. God, I am willing to see whatever power and impact my prayers can have in the world. I'm willing to take that risk. In the same way that you parents, those of you who are parents, teach your children responsibility by having them do their homework, clean their rooms, learn about how to handle money, God wants us to take responsibility for our prayers, to grow up in our prayers. He wants us to see how our prayers are a powerful way that we can partner with Him to bring His grace into our broken world. As one of the greatest saints in the history of the church, St. Augustine, pointed out, without God, we cannot. Without us, He will not. When we are willing to pray risky, bold, dangerous, perilous prayers, then we are willing to take a measure of responsibility for the outcome. This is what the Israelites had to learn. They had been in slavery for many years before God led them out into the desert toward the promised land. The problem was there wasn't much to eat in the desert, no way to survive. So God gave them something called manna. It formed on the ground each day, and it was like bread. It tasted and looked like bread. Over the 40 years when the Israelites were traveling through the desert, the one thing they could always count on was the manna. Every morning, like clockwork, it appeared. But what they did not realize was that the manna was only temporary. God had something much greater in mind for them, was leading them to something much greater, a land flowing with milk and honey, overflowing with resources, abundance beyond their wildest imagination. And once they crossed over into that land, the first reading today says, the manna ceased. No longer was there manna for the Israelites, who that year ate of the yield of the land of Canaan. Before, the manna had just rained down from heaven. All they had to do, it was simple, all they had to do was walk outside, pick it up, eat it. It was safe, easy, no responsibility required. God did all the heavy lifting. God did all the work. But now God was giving them something much better. A land with all kinds of fruits and vegetables. The Bible talks about enormous grapes that were there, juicy pomegranates, figs, fertile fields. The difference was that now they would have to take responsibility for the land. You know, till the ground, work the fields, plant and harvest crops, tend to the livestock. They would have to deal with the situation when the conditions were not favorable, there wasn't enough rain, or when enemies threatened to come in and steal and plunder their livelihood. It was risky to take that kind of responsibility. Just receiving the manna was much easier. But in the end, the Israelites would have to grow up in their faith, and the results would be far, far greater. In the same way, safe prayers are so much easier. Just ask God for a little more manna. Hey, God, can you help me pay my mortgage this month? Do something about this pain. Protect me from all the pressure at work. Get my kid to stop making so many dumb mistakes. And God, just help me get through this day. Those are safe prayers. Turn it around and pray perilous, dangerous prayers. God, I'm asking you, if it's in your will, to help me pay off my mortgage in full so that I can be a blessing to others, help those in need. I believe and declare that you're going to heal me from this painful disease, restore me to perfect health. God, I thank you for turning the situation around at my job. I know you will give success to the work of my hands. God, your scripture says that my children will be mighty in the land. I know you're going to help them become all they were created to be. God, I thank you for this new day, all the opportunities that could come my way. I know not every moment will be easy, but I trust you. I have faith that you have plans to prosper me in every way. Those are powerful prayers because they speak the truth about what we really want and about who God really is, the all-powerful, unstoppable King of the universe. Are you willing to go out on a limb with God, to put your total trust in him, to take a risk for the Lord? Well, Father Roger, what if I pray that way and nothing happens? What if it does happen? I can promise you this, nothing great will ever come from safe, passive, helpless prayers. And so this week, I invite you, encourage you, challenge you to identify one dangerous prayer, something that you just really want but can't even imagine happening, something deep down in your spirit, maybe something that you don't even realize at the moment. That's what it was like for me. I have lots of dangerous prayers for this church. One of them is Christmas every Sunday, where the pews will be standing room only. Hey, we're getting there. I got people up in the balcony today. But for me, personally, I was thinking, what's my dangerous prayer? It took me a while. I'm so grateful God gave it to me. So this week, identify that dangerous prayer for you and start praying for it. Stick to it until you see God's mighty hand begin to work in your life. Pray dangerously, pray perilously. Believe, and Jesus says, you will receive.